starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress.
Gonsalves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS on the Money podcast for this Wednesday, the 18th of February, 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200 up 0.5%. We'll have the details with June Bailey-Lew from 10Cap in a few moments. But first to some stats from the Bureau of Statistics, which said the wage price index rose 0.8% over the December quarter to be 3.4% higher over the year. While it is above pre-pandemic levels, it's below the rate of inflation of 3.8%, which means real wages fell. To tell us more, I spoke with Devika Shivadekar. She's an economist at RSM Australia. Devika, first of all, how would you describe the pace of wages growth?
I think it's safe to say that wages have been growing at a stable pace. We did see that on a quarterly basis, wages did not move. It was 0.8% in the third quarter 2025, as well as in the December quarter 2025. Annually, though, we just saw a marginal uptick to 3.4%. So broadly, it is safe to say that, yes, wages are growing at a very moderate pace, and we do not see any risk of a material reacceleration in wages growth.
Okay, still with inflation at 3.8%, doesn't this mean that real wages are going backwards at a time when we're seeing interest rates rising? And we saw yesterday private health insurance premiums will be up 4.4% on average and the cost of living pressures just increasing.
Indeed, that is true. And in fact, there will be some sections of households who are going to be hit a lot harder than some. We are seeing that real wages are going negative, slightly negative at the moment with 3.8% inflation and 3.4% of wages. But we are hoping that inflation price pressures do come down in the remaining part of the year. So should wages growth remain at the current levels and productivity not go down further, we can see a bit of a balance come back into the real wages metrics. However, having said that, I think it is fair to assume that people are going to feel real lived cost of living pressures in the short to medium term.
If we look through the numbers, though, the public sector, I think, is seeing wages growth of about 4%, while the private 3.4%. What does this mean? Because it seems like those pressures aren't necessarily even.
Yes, Ricardo. So the wages growth has been broad-based this time. We did see some growth in private, but we saw significantly more growth in the public sector. Now, it is important to understand that the public sector wage growth actually came on the back of bargained agreements. And some of them were also, in fact, backdated payments that have now finally been captured in the data. So it's not, we cannot say that it is one of the leading causes of wages going forward or those pressures are going to remain sustained. This could perhaps be more of a mechanical thing than a sustained wage pressure story. We'll see how the numbers pan out in the next quarter. But for now, it was mostly enterprise-led, agreement-based than organic.
And so finally, does it have any implications for inflation and thus interest rates?
I don't think so. Personally, I would like to see this as a more cautionary tale than something that would spook the RBA. As I mentioned before, wages growth have been stable from the third quarter to the fourth quarter. And of course, the RBA is going to be looking at it very closely from the productivity side of things. Provided productivity does not seem to go backward, these wage growth rates are something that we have seen previously and are somewhat averaging around what we've seen levels be prior to the pandemic as well. So I don't think the RBA is going to act on this necessarily. But of course, in the broader scheme of things, they would be looking at it from the point of view of the labor market tightness as well. But I don't see this as a risk to bring about any price wage spiral concerns at all for the central bank.
That is Devika Shivadekar there from RSM Australia.
Happy Lunar New Year! Celebrate with SBS again this year with our offering of movies, podcasts, and more. Search online for SBS LNY to find out more.
Let's take a closer look at the Australian share market now. The 200 up by 0.5%, 9,007 points. 10 of the 11 sectors ended higher. The best performing information technology. Property stocks also doing well. The one sector to fall today, materials. Of the best and worst performers today, we saw technology one really drag up the index in terms of the technology sector. Shares up by about 8% there following its profit result. The best performer today, those Superloop shares up by 18%. Of the major stocks, we saw the banks do pretty well. NAB up 4%. It hit a record high at one stage today. The bank reporting a 16% increase in cash earnings. Some of the health insurers doing particularly well. Remember yesterday, the federal government approved 4.41% increase in average health insurance premiums. That will start from the 1st of April. NIB shares up 5% today. Medibank gaining 6%. Elsewhere, as I mentioned, the property stocks doing well. Mirvac up 5.7%. Dexus up nearly 7%. The market liking its profit results coming out today. And BlueScope Steel today up almost 3%. It received a revised takeover approach from SGH and Steel Dynamics based in the US. So for more on the day's market action, I spoke with Junbei Liu, portfolio manager at TenCap. Junbei, how would you describe investor sentiment at the moment and what's driving it?
Look, investor sentiment is actually at this stage is quite skewed towards more defensive mode. When I say defensive, means that investors are more keen to stay in the larger cap companies. So far, the larger cap companies like the banks, like the resources, have reported very, very strong earnings. Like today, we saw incredible result from NAB. That's just following three very strong results of the other three banks. So we are seeing investors taking money away from, for example, the technology companies, where there's a bit of uncertainty about the AI outlook, and put it into the larger cap like those ones and also like the BHP, given we have received very strong results.
I know it's quite a specific question, but given all the issues around cost of living, it's quite interesting to see the health insurers, shares of those companies like your NIB, your Medibank, surging today following the government approving a 4.41% increase in the average private health insurance premium. So no real surprise there, right?
Look, it is surprise on the upside, exactly as you said, with given the cost of living crisis and the government approving such a large increase in health insurance premium. Now, what the government's trying to do, however, is asking those health insurers to pass on those price increases onto the hospitals, because the hospitals in the last few years has really gone through a lot of struggles. In fact, we are seeing one of the largest hospital chain, like the Healthscope, be in voluntary administration simply because the cost has gone up so much and inflation, and they can't manage with all these costs. So we want to ensure the private system is still running as well as it could. So it's not about increasing profit margin for health insurers. They need to be seeing the next 12 months pass it on to the hospitals.
Can I get your opinion on the tech sector today? Because we've seen tech shares do particularly well. Given all this talk about overinvestment in AI, software shares being smashed recently because of fears AI will eat into their business models, what's your take on the sector?
Look, I think the sector has absolutely been oversold. However, there is still this longer term issue, uncertainty lingering, whether some of those software companies are losing a big part of their pie to the potential AI threat, new AI product that can threaten into their existing product range. What's reassuring today is the technology one, a SaaS company that has previously thought being the market darling. They have contracts with governments and big businesses, and actually just came out, they were seen as the being threatened potentially by AI, but they have came out, not only upgraded their earnings quite a lot over the longer term, they also said they have been providing AI product and tools to their customers, and these has been doing so well that they are selling these new products as well as putting up prices. So in a way, it reassures investors perhaps it's not all just doom and gloom for those companies.
We're in the midst of profit reporting season. There's quite a few out today. Any company ones that you're keeping an eye on, or what are the general broad themes that you've seen during reporting season?
Yeah, so look, a general broad theme so far is our economy is actually holding up pretty well. We've seen all the great results from the banks, means mortgages are doing well, consumers are, buying houses, and we're seeing good resources which we expect because commodity price is strong. What's interesting is though, even the consumer companies has reported okay result, although there's an increasing in competition, but consumer company have talked to slow down in the January and so far February sort of foot traffic. Just a sign that maybe consumers are a little bit more cautious, and now we haven't seen the full impact of the rate increase yet. But most of the consumer fronting company have talked to if there is one more or more than one, there could be more impact further down to the sentiment.
Okay, so what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Look, I tell clients to stay invested in the market, but do avoid areas where it is more speculative. So, where there's a lot more uncertainty, we are seeing there was a bit of a valuation bubble in the tech companies last year, and that valuation bubble has come out of tech company, now has moved into a bit of some parts of the resources companies, more speculative commodity space where there's aluminium and others. So, avoid those areas. Stay in larger cap defensive businesses because those companies delivering good earnings and good dividend, and then they actually delivering pretty good capital return. So stay invested in the market, but stay with the blue chips.
That's Junbei Lu there from TenCap, and she wraps up the podcast for this Wednesday. Don't forget to give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Click subscribe, and I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast.